I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. And every day I think about skipping making content so that I can get on with some of the research work. And every day I feel the need to make another one. Today we need to talk about the difference between the Canadian system and the U.S. system, because I think a lot of people just don't understand it. I had one person, an old friend, say to me that they would rather go and live in Gaza or go and live in Lebanon than become American. And I can't for the life of me understand how they arrive at that. So let's dive into just talking about the straight differences. State sovereignty in the U.S. versus Canada. Constitutional framework. U.S. states retain all powers not delegated to the federal government, the 10th Amendment, giving them broad authority over education, criminal justice, infrastructure, and local taxation. When Donald Trump talks about ending the federal Department of Education, he's talking about giving those powers back to who they constitutionally belong to, the states. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because each individual state is sovereign to decide how they want to educate their people. And you can move around the whole of the United States to a jurisdiction that fits with your ideological goals or your education goals. You can choose. The whole idea of the United States is choice and personal power, as you're going to see. In Canada, Canadian provinces operate under powers assigned by the federal government, with Ottawa holding residual authority and the ability to disallow provincial law. So the theme that you're going to see in Canada is that everything comes from on high. It doesn't come from you, the person, you, the people. Your sovereignty is given away to a power. You're lucky that you get a vote at all, because really they could dispense with the entire electoral system, given there isn't much in the way of variety among the choices that you have, and they have no accountability to you, because again, it comes from on high. It's part of our law that you have no expectation of results from your politicians. Judicial independence. U.S. states have their own constitutions and Supreme Courts, often ruling against federal overreach, such as Texas versus White, 1869. But there have been much more prominent cases since then. I don't really want to get into the weeds of case law. But more often than not, states invalidate federal law and states defy federal law successfully. Canada does not have a tradition of the provinces winning over the federal government as strongly as that tradition exists in the United States. In the provinces, all the courts, Canadian provincial courts, are subordinate to federal appointees, and the Supreme Court of Canada, federally appointed, has final say, limiting provincial autonomy. I would argue completely eliminating it. The provinces are under the thumb of the federal government, and the federal government is ran largely in the interests of one province, but we'll get into that a little later. Fiscal control. U.S. states set their own budgets, issue bonds, and levy taxes with minimal federal interference. Canadian provinces rely heavily on federal transfers. An example would be equalization payments, but it doesn't end there. Billions of dollars flow out to the provinces. It's a way that the federal government, even with the limited powers and autonomy that were granted to the province under this federation, the federal government has found a way to leash the provinces to itself through transfer payments. Legislative freedom. U.S. states can pass laws on controversial issues like marijuana legalization or abortion, even defying federal policies. 33 states legalized cannabis in spite of federal bans. And we're going to talk about sheriffs later, but there's a reason the federal government is incapable of making the states enforce those laws. Good luck here in Canada. Scott Moe, Premier of Saskatchewan, removed the carbon tax arbitrarily from home heating bills to save his people some money. That is an illegal act and represents one of the most open and powerful acts of defiance under the federation that's happened in recent memory. And it's not very good. It's not very defiant. It's not very powerful at all. It's a small victory, and we have to celebrate it, because under the federation, top down, designed, the Westminster system is designed in the service of the king. And even though you may argue the king doesn't have power in Canada, still technically the head of state, the governor general can dismiss parliament. The governor general is not elected. We could change that, but there isn't a single federal party that wants to. There isn't a single federal party that wants to fix any of these problems I'm highlighting. And you need to understand that. You need to understand that the Canadian citizen is a subject of the state. And when you are instinctively, knee-jerk reacting to the idea of statehood against it, you're actually supporting the system. You're actually supporting the government. You're not supporting the people, and you're not supporting the land. I have an issue with that. People keep telling me every day, if I don't get told a dozen times to just up and leave Canada, to move to the United States if I don't like it, it's not a good day. Those people don't understand. I love the people of this country, and I love this land more than they do. They are loyal to a system. I am loyal to the souls who live here. Let me collect myself. Canadian provinces must align with federal criminal law and face tighter restrictions. Cannabis legalization required federal approval in 2018. Didn't matter what the provinces wanted because the law descends from on high. Citizen power. This is arguably far more important, and maybe I should have put it first in the video. Elected positions at state and local level. In the United States, citizens elect a wide range of state and local officials, governors, state legislatures, attorney generals, attorneys general, secretaries of state, treasurers, judges in 38 states. 38 states of 50 elect their judges. Isn't that amazing? Sheriffs, district attorneys, school boards, and more. For example, Texas elects over 7,000 officials statewide, including 254 county sheriffs. Across the U.S., there's over 500,000 elected positions at the state and local level. 254 county sheriffs. Now, you need to understand, this is how powerful the citizen is in the United States, and this is how decentralized power is. This is how sovereignty is distributed more evenly among the people. It's not just the Second Amendment, which is beautiful, the right to defend yourself and your property. On February 4th, there was an instance in Winnipeg where there was a guy attacking people with hammers. I think it was on a bus. And someone pepper sprayed him and subdued him. And the police declined to press charges. But they did take time to remind everybody that defense of your own life is technically illegal. Defense of your well-being is illegal. They remind you that not only are you not allowed to protect yourself with firearms, you can't even carry bear spray except for its intended purpose. It's illegal to carry bear spray. If you are carrying bear spray for personal self-defense against people, don't tell anybody, because just telling somebody that is an illegal act in Canada. You're only allowed to carry it against bears. If a human's trying to kill you, you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to lie down and die and call the cops. That's Canada. Setting aside the Second Amendment, the sheriff, 254 of which are elected in Texas alone, has the power to just say no to a law that is unjust. That's why, even though the media doesn't blare it in the United States, you'll often see sheriffs hold press conferences where they basically say, we are not going to enforce a certain executive order of the president because it is illegal in our eyes, and the president can do nothing. Nothing. They talk about Trump being a dictator. He can only dictate so far as people voluntarily go along with it. The states can go to court and challenge him. And judges routinely do. That's why lawfare is such an important element of the United States, because there's checks on unchecked authority everywhere. Canada. Citizens elect only federal MPs and provincial legislators. Positions like judges, sheriffs, or provincial attorneys general are appointed, not elected. Municipal elections exist, but roles like mayors and councillors are fewer and far less powerful. Most of the time, the policies that come down, like smart cities and some of these agendas that are going on at a municipal level, they come through the administrator's office. Nobody even votes on them. And the councillors just go along and rubber stamp everything until the public gets informed and gets loud about it. Municipalities are overrode not just by the province, but by edicts that come from some mystery place. I remember trying to figure out where this idea came from for a certain set of policies. Nobody knew. Nobody knew where the policy came from that they were applying and enforcing. It's pretty bad. Canada has about 25,000 elected officials in total, a fraction of the United States. And even if you account for the higher population in the United States versus Canada, it is still a fraction. ballot initiatives and direct democracy. This is so important. 26 states, so a majority, slim majority, allow citizens to propose and vote on laws or constitutional amendments via ballot initiatives. California's Prop 13 cut property taxes in 1978. How powerful is that? Your taxes are too high, so you formulate a ballot initiative, you vote on it yourself, and you, the citizen, lowers your tax bill because you think government's out of control. That's outstanding. That's fantastic. Over 2,000 state-level initiatives have been voted on since 1904. Referendums and recalls ousting governors further empower citizens. We're going to talk about recall. Basically, all you need to know for right now is Canada doesn't have any of it. We'll talk about that in a bit. We're doing this in order. Canada. No province offers ballot initiatives or referendums as a standard mechanism. Citizens can petition Parliament, but direct lawmaking power remains with elected officials. Rare national referendums, Quebec secession, are top-down, not citizen-driven. You are dependent on the nobility who, that's what they are. The whole system is designed around a noble class. And you just get to vote. You get to vote for the noble of your choice. If you want something done as a citizen, you have no power. You can file a petition, but it's of no legal consequence. You depend on your MPs to support your petition. So people make all kinds of noise, but it doesn't go anywhere. It's kind of crazy. Like this is what people defend. This is when people are just like, I'm a proud Canadian. You're saying you're proud of the system. You can be a proud Canadian and not proud of your system. Your system's garbage. When Polyev stands up and says we can be proud of our Westminster system, he's lost the script. There's nothing to be proud about our federation. Legally, there's just the system sucks. You're a slave. You're a serf. You have more in common with the serfs of previous centuries than you do a free and independent citizen. Constitutional protections. Citizens have explicit individual rights via the Bill of Rights in the United States, free speech, gun ownership enforced by an independent judiciary. States can expand these rights. New York's broader press protections. Canadian Charter Rights, 1982, are strong but include a notwithstanding clause, letting legislatures override certain rights. It's not certain rights. It is all rights, temporarily, and a reasonable limits clause diluting absolutes. The thing is, when the government steps in and suspends the charter, it's arbitrary. They get to do it like this. It just happens, and it's enforced. Later on, there's a legal mechanism to examine whether or not the infringement was justified. And what we found in Canada, when Trudeau boot-stomped and curb-stomped the Freedom Convoy out of existence, we found out later that it was illegal. Who went to jail? What were the consequences? It wasn't justified. Did anybody face accountability? No, because in Canada, you're a serf. You live under nobility. The Laurentian elites rule. You get to vote which ones represent you. It's disgusting. Local governance. U.S. citizens influence hyper-local issues via elected township boards, county commissioners, or city councils. Over 87,000 local government units exist. For instance, Michigan has 1,240 townships with elected trustees. All this should show you is how decentralized power is in the United States. The citizens are empowered. Canada's 3,700 municipalities have elected councils, but their powers are delegated by provinces, not inherent, and lack the scope of U.S. counterparts. Again, the power of the people descends from on high. You're given breadcrumbs from the table. And even those breadcrumbs, if you use them too effectively, they'll just take away from you. Canada, the system sucks. Even if we don't become a state, the system sucks. It needs a rewrite. The people should be really upset about this. Do you want to pass on a country to your kids that's better? I often see people in my audience that are in their later stage of their life, 70s, 80s years old, and they're holding on. They're holding on to an idea that first off never existed, but has never not existed more than it doesn't exist right now. They're thinking about themselves and their frame of reference when they need to be thinking about the future. That's why these ideas are so much more popular among the young than they are among the old. And that's not to dismiss a lot of people get it. But what I'm telling you now is real. It's fact-based. Jury nullification in the United States. Jury nullification occurs when a jury acquits a defendant, even if they believe the defendant is guilty under the law because they disagree with the law itself or its application. It's a de facto power, not an official right, rooted in the jury's role as a check on government tyranny. how it works. Jurors can vote their conscience in criminal trials, and once they deliver a not guilty verdict, it's final. Double jeopardy prevents retrial. Judges can't overturn it, and jurors can't be punished for their decision. So if there is a law that comes down from on high in the United States, and it is unjust, the people in the jury can nullify it. In Canada, juries lack the same independent authority, which should come as no surprise. The Canadian legal system, while based on British common law, evolved differently under a more centralized framework. The criminal code and the judicial oversight limit juror discretion. So a jury is limited and restricted to the decisions that they can make. Once again, the citizens have no power here. That's the point you should be getting. Your power is limited to marking an X on a ballot for the candidates that have been selected for you by the Laurentian elites in Maine. It functions like a monarchy. That's why it is a constitutional monarchy. That's why I remind people, when I use the term instead of banana republic would be better than Canada, which is a banana monarchy. And even though the king's imprint might not be firm on terra firma, it might not be present in everyday life, the system designed to serve the king serves the nobility. That's Canada. The states are objectively better. The states are objectively more sovereign under the United States. They have their individual characteristics. Virginia emphasizes its historical roots from the colonial era with a strong legislative tradition known for a conservative political lean. I'm not going to go through all this. I'm going to say that Kentucky has a simpler government compared to others. Massachusetts has a more complex bureaucracy and strong educational emphasis. Each state preserves its flavor and its power, and if the federal government erodes that too much, they go to court and they fight it out. And then you have sheriffs, individual little sheriffs, the heads of little counties, who just decide arbitrarily that they're not going to enforce a law that they think is illegal, and they fight it out in the courts. Decentralized power. You would be better as a Canadian. As a Canadian. If you love your people and you love your land, you would be better under statehood, objectively, period. It's not even a debate. Some people talk about the differences in healthcare and the fact that there's medical bankruptcies in the United States and that they have their problems. But in Canada, we have wait lists and we have the right to die on a wait list. People can't get care. A lot of our healthcare practitioners, and it's not everybody, there's a lot of good ones out there, I'm not insulting everybody, but we got the B unit because they want to go to the United States and make money, or they want to go to a different country that does universal healthcare better and make better money. So oftentimes, we have to import our doctors who can barely speak English, and you get to die on a waiting list, or you get to be offered MAID, medical assistance in dying. The number one cause of death, I believe, it's like 5%. 5% of all deaths in Canada are now medical assistance in dying. That's what we do. You talk about bankruptcy. It's a false choice. Both systems have their problems on healthcare, but outside of the healthcare bubble, the discussion about healthcare, there's all this other stuff that's objectively so much better about the United States. What are we doing here clinging to the system like the system is Canada? The system is not Canada. Canada is the people and the land, and they need a better deal. And here I am again, almost at 20 minutes. I really wanted to keep going, but the fact is people won't click on this thing. I need new people to click on this. As much as I love my audience, I'm trying to get to new people so that they can expand their understanding. One of the things I wanted to touch on was Quebec ethno-nationalism and how Quebec, the non-participant in this federation, the voluntary participant, treats Canada like a territory and rules us like a territory. This official two-language nonsense would go away if we had statehood and we would have one language and they could do whatever they wanted in Quebec as a state. They could take care of themselves without holding the rest of us down under a yoke. Thank you to everybody who shares and likes the videos and does all the work of evangelizing what we do. If you wish to, please financially support, because if I can sustain this, I will just keep going forever. And thanks to everybody who has. I appreciate all of you. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.